Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. This week is National Nutrition Week and this year's theme is Try for Five, highlighting the importance of vegetables for our health and well-being at the cost of, as the cost of living increases, it can be easier to neglect healthy eating in favour of cheap and easy alternatives. We all do it, I definitely do it too. But with us today, we've got Jenny Atkins, the Senior Stakeholder Coordinator from Live Ladder, to give us some tips about healthy eating that won't break the bank. Welcome, Jenny. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. And we're so excited to talk about vegetables.
We talk about vegetables all day.
It's a great way to introduce greens into your diet, and they're having a great, you know, they're having a little bit of a great resurgence, and we love to introduce greens and have beautiful things, you know, on and working, and that's a great time. But why are vegetables so vital to a healthy diet?
Well, when you look at it, vegetables contain a lot of nutrients that we need to not only grow for kids, but as adults, to actually maintain and repair things that are going wrong in our bodies. So, like, it's full of vitamins and minerals, things like phytochemicals and fiber, all the good stuff. So it's really important to try and get that in your diet. What we do know as health professionals, and this is internationally agreed, that if there's one single change that we can make in our diet is to actually eat more fruit and veg, that will actually help improve our health. So it decreases the risk of things like heart disease, diabetes, overweight and obesity, and some cancers as well. So lots of benefits there.
How many vegetables should we be eating a day?
Oh, we should be eating 5 serves a day. Love this question. And people always ask, you know, what does actually mean 5 serves? People mistaken and think it's 5 different types. I'm happy if people think it's 5 different types and try that. But what we do say is 1 serve of veggies is a cup of salad, which you can actually easily squeeze into, say, a chicken and salad sandwich. That would give you a serve already. Or it's 1/2 cup of cooked, might be 1 medium potato. So when you think about even a corn cob, medium potato, your 5 serves can actually come in really, really easily. And things like legumes, which is like baked beans, you've got your chickpeas, they all count as well.
So it's all about balancing. It's all about, you know, balancing a healthy diet with adding, you know, vegetables to your normal rotation. How do you sort of address it in the food group department? How do we, you know, balance the 5 food groups? What's the best way to go about that?
Okay, when we talk about food groups, basically we're looking at having a diet that's really high in vegetables as 1 food group, fruit is the other, and breads and cereals. So really the bulk of it, say, really 2/3 of your whole diet should be based on this. And then adding in things like meat and meat alternatives, and you've got your dairy side of things, so milk, but also milk alternatives. Nowadays you've got like soy milk, oat milk and things like that. And not forgetting that you know, it's essential to actually have some fats in the diet as well. Unfortunately, what happens is that it's all the discretionary foods, things that aren't necessary. It's all the treat foods that we like. What used to be sometimes foods, unfortunately, has crept into everyday foods. And, you know, for some people, it becomes every meal foods. So thinking across breakfast, your morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, your dinner, do you have a supper after, you know, where's all these extra things coming in from? So we do recommend that if people eat lots of fruit and vegetables and, you know, with the breads and cereals, lots of whole grains, really, that fills you up and gives you so much of all the essential nutrients that you need.
Absolutely. I definitely think people can sway into that unbalanced food group department, and then that's when you start having maybe too much unhealthy food. What are the sort of dangers around eating too much unhealthy food?
Okay, really it comes down to the fact that you then get too much, you know, of the usual fats, the salt and too much sugar in your diet. And unfortunately, that's linked to increased risk of lots of different chronic diseases. And, you know, we need a little bit of it in our diet. Unfortunately, we just eat too much of it. And there's so many easy ways to not eat unhealthy. Let's put it that way.
We're especially around silly season, and we've got Halloween coming up. It's when people really like to indulge and support themselves with a little bit of sugar, or maybe an extra ham sandwich, or, you know, a really big plate of gravy. So around Halloween, you know, we're eating way more sugar. What are the dangers of consuming too much sugar? What can people do you know, as alternatives?
Okay, I'm going to answer this in two different parts. The first one, addressing Halloween. Look, it is just one day in the calendar. So I'm not going to sit here and go, no, you know, be the sugar police and say, don't let your kids eat lollies. That's, you know, it's a fun thing. And, you know, getting into the spirit is fine. For Halloween, my tip, look, my daughter and I go Halloweening. We just have a really long route where we walk along different things. You know, she just gets a smaller bag to carry, so it's not about filling everything. We make sure that she eats dinner before we go, so she's actually full. And, you know, we talk about the limit of what she can actually eat while we're out trick-or-treating. And just remember, when they come back, it's not sitting there and gorging through everything that she's collected. You know, pace it out over the next few months. It's quite often in our household, you know, come December when I'm doing my Christmas clearance of my pantry, her lollies are still there. For her, it's a novelty of doing it, getting dressed up and going out with her friends and doing that. So we're quite lucky that way. Second part of your question about sugar. So when we look at sugar, sugar is really just a concentrated source of energy. It breaks down. That's what our body cells actually need to function. When we talk about sugar, there's two different components that we're talking about. One is naturally occurring sugar, so that's in a lot of our fruit, in our dairy, like yogurt, for example. It's naturally occurring. That's great. Beautiful source. It's natural. That's what we want you to get your sugars from. Unfortunately, where a lot of Australians get their sugar from is added sugar. So sugar is added in processing. And, you know, this is so that it tastes better, it's for flavour, it's for colour, it's for thickening and things like that. What happens is that the source of added sugar in the Australian diet, you know, predominantly comes from sugar-sweetened beverages like soft drinks and iced teas, iced coffees, you know, lollies and cakes, all these processed food. And unfortunately, it adds up. One classic example I love to use in all my talks, all my presentations is when you sit down for a cup of tea, right? You might have one teaspoon of sugar, maybe two, okay, for some people. And that's sweet enough. When you look at a 600ml bottle of, say, a cola drink, in that there's 16 teaspoons.
Whoa.
Would you sit down and have 16 teaspoons of sugar in your tea? I'll give you two cups of tea and say, well, you still put 16 teaspoons of sugar in there. No, you don't. So what happens with the sugar in that is that it's flavouring, it's colouring, you know, the bubbles go into it to make it taste better. If you let that Coke actually go flat, you'll actually taste how sweet it is.
It's like ice cream. It goes warm and you can taste how sweet it is. It's always a bit alarming. You're like, I had a whole bowl of that earlier. That's terrible. We can't be doing that.
Oh, look, everything in moderation is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think moderation is the goal here. We're talking to Jenny Atkin on Fitter Happier today, the Live Lighter, you know, stakeholder coordinator at Live Lighter. Really beautiful knowledge about nutrition here. And we're just talking about balance and about including those five a day, including that sort of addressing all the food groups in your diet. But we also need to talk about the cost of living, and the cost of living has increased recently. So a lot of food has become more expensive. How can people maintain a healthy diet when a lot of fresh produce can be really expensive?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have to agree, statewide, nationwide, we are seeing an increased cost of living across the board. And where we see it immediately is when we go grocery shopping. Okay, we notice things have gone up. But as much as they say, there's a misconception that healthy food is expensive. It's actually not. My key tips in terms of how you can eat healthier but actually save money, my first one is to buy fruit and veg in season. Okay, when you buy it in season, it means it's in great supply, nutritionally at its peak, so you're getting the best that you can, and it's normally the cheapest thing that's there. But also in terms of buying in season, there's other factors in this. When you're talking about fruit and veg, you don't just have to buy fresh. When you look at dried stuff, frozen foods, bottled fruit and veg, you know, they all count towards this. I look in my freezer, I've always got a bag of mixed veggies in there. There's frozen spinach. There might be a bag of frozen berries in there as well. In my pantry, there's always cans of lentils and legumes, sweet corn, just things that I know that I can throw into whatever I'm cooking really quickly. So that's my second tip. My second tip is to swap out the expensive stuff when you're shopping. What is expensive? Meat. Okay. And I was just doing my food planning as well. I was thinking what I was going to have for the next week or so. And I thought, okay, in terms of a stir fry, if I wanted to do a chicken and veggie stir fry, if you actually substitute out, say, two chicken breasts and put in one tofu, a firm tofu, the cost savings there is probably about $3 at the checkout. Then I look at, say, if I would normally do a lamb curry, and think, okay, well, if I'm trying to introduce more veggies into this, why don't I take out the lamb and actually put in chickpeas, and then it becomes a vegetarian style of a curry. So what, half a kilo of lamb is about $11, I think. So what are we up to now? $14 saving. And say, if I was going to do a bolognese sauce, so instead of having half a kilo of mince, why don't I do 250 grams of mince plus a couple of cans of lentils? So what does that save? Probably around $3 by the time you add it all up. So that's like $17 in just three meals that I'm talking about. So it just shows you how quickly you can actually affect your food budget when you actually think about healthy things. So my third thing, which I was talking about, is meal planning. If you actually start planning your meals, you're less likely to just, at the spur of the moment, go, okay, I'm just going to go and grab a takeaway, and then suddenly go, oh, I feel really guilty that I've done that, I shouldn't have done that, and then it just compounds from there. If you plan out even just your dinner meals for the week, you know, that's a huge thing that you can save there. I always say to my friends and family, you know, shop from your pantry and shop from your fridge and freezer first. Use up what's there. I think I'm also guilty that sometimes there's already things there and I'll just go and buy another lot and go, oh, I come back. Oh, actually, I had another head of broccoli. I should have checked this before going shopping. So, you know, food wastage. When times are tough at the moment, like, just be smart and use what you've got at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there can be a misconception about canned goods and frozen veggies that they're not as nutrient dense or they're not as nutrient rich. And obviously that can be true for some processed long life vegetables or frozen vegetables. But generally the fresh frozen or canned lentils or chickpeas are just as healthy, is that right?
Absolutely. And the great thing about lentils is that it's all pre-prepared for you. If you bought it dried, you just have to go through the process of soaking it before you can actually cook it. Going back to frozen veggies, they're actually picked at the prime and then snap frozen right there and then. So nutritionally, it can actually be better than fresh if fresh has been left to sit out for a long time. So certainly, you know, the benefits of having a variety of fruit and veg, fresh, frozen, dried, canned, like, all counts.
Yeah, beautiful. What resources can Live Lighter provide for people looking to add more sort of resources and vegetables, cooking them, how to budget, how to do whatever you can? What resources can we find with Live Lighter?
We have got so many things on our website. So head over to livelighter.com.au. We have got meal plans that are there for you to download. That's free. There's lots of tips, particularly on smart shopping, eating smart. And we have got hundreds of recipes, and all of those recipes have fruit or veg in them as well. So what we're trying to teach people is healthier versions of what might be normally recipes that are, you know, higher in fat or salt, and how veggies actually add it in and add more taste to it.
Yeah, and that's where people can go for more information about Fitter Happier too?
Absolutely.
About not Fitter Happier, about Live Lighter.
And there's resources that they can order as well, so hard copy recipe booklets, nutrition wallet cards, physical activity information as well. So hop on there and send us a message.
Well, thanks for joining us on Fitter Happier today, Jenny.
Thank you, Pam.
That was Jenny Atkins, the Senior Stakeholder Coordinator from Live Lighter. For more information about, you know, healthy eating and those food plans that we were talking about, absolutely head to the Live Lighter website, the Healthy WA website. There's lots of Australian dietary guidelines on the Eat for Health website too.